good morning, Brendan.
What up, Alan?
I love these little talks that we have. It's so nice. Not a Thing podcast number 135. Hooray. It's Thursday. It's later on Thursday than I think we were expecting, and it's later in the week than we're recording, but we're still on the definition of weekly, happening once a week, so I'm happy. How about you?
Better late than never.
Yeah. Well, that was a pretty good show.
You set a speed record, and we're done.
Yeah.
No. Credits. Oh, wait, we don't have credits.
And
the credits are Alan and Brendan.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's not bad. If you would like to be added to this illustrious list of credits, it would be great. Just let us know, or maybe be open to it when we let you know that we'd like you to be on our show.
I am looking for a assistant or perhaps a campaign manager for my eventual run for public office. I've been doing some polling over the last week and doing pretty well. I already have at least 3 people that will vote for me if nice. I run for public office.
Nice.
To be decided. I looked into it to run for state legislature. It's like, I don't know, $900, or you get 1,500 signatures. So okay. I figure if I get 1,500 signatures, that's 1,500 votes right there.
Right. Right. That math is sound.
Yeah. And I have no money, so
right.
It's going to be a real grass seeds campaign.
Yeah, if you were hoping for podcast money on that, we're...
we're tapped.
we have 135 episodes still in the hole.
So, I mean, we should probably keep that quiet, Alan. So fiscal responsibility right. is an important part of running for office.
Right. You know, you have to be very transparent about your funding actions. Yeah.
I wonder if anyone's done a Kickstarter for a political campaign.
I think...
Or can you do that?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure... Crowdfunding for office is a thing. I'm sure there's a group that would let you do that.
We call it Kickpack.
Not to be confused with kickbacks.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying there would be kickbacks. Wink.
I like that I just heard you wink. That's impressive.
It takes a lot of practice.
That's a change you can believe in.
Auditory wink.
Right.
Wink. I just did it again.
Well, from a completely audio medium to discussing some stuff that was recorded in a video medium this week, or at least it was released this week, there you may have seen a story or two about it. Walter Scott was... shot by police this week. Yes, we are in the throes of yet another police scandal, police shooting an unarmed black man, this time in South Carolina. And Walter Scott was not only unarmed, he was running away, not really quickly, from an officer who apparently decided to not chase him. Despite how not quickly he was running away and shoot him, I think he fired 8 shots, 5 of which hit him and killed him. And then the officer then proceeded to I believe cuff Walter Scott while he was down, and at one point he throws a taser out, and in the official report. He said that that Walter Scott was fleeing with the officer's taser, and he was shooting in self-defense. And the reason we know that is not true is because some person who was walking either to or from work that day saw some stuff happening and started filming with his phone, and and came forward with the information. So it's really kind of fantastic on a number of ends. I mean, we've talked about how in some jurisdictions it's illegal to film the police without their consent. And this is one of those situations where I think it's pretty clear, you know, it's a good thing that that filming was occurring. I believe the person that came forward initially thought he should send it to, I mean, knew he should send it to somebody, but had reservations about sending it to the police because it obviously would, he thought it would put him in danger. And so he ended up getting a lawyer and then I believe did release it to Walter Scott's family, who and only after he was looking for the police report to show up in like the police blotter or otherwise show up. And when it showed up and contradicted what he saw on video, he came forward with it. And so kudos to that person. Kudos to I don't know if it's the governor or if it was someone in just someone in charge of the district that the shooting happened in, because they made it mandatory to that all police have body cameras, something that we've also talked about on the show. They also fired the cop in question and are bringing murder charges. So it's one of those situations where clearly this guy is in the wrong, at least from the evidence presented so far. And it's the kind of thing where in a lot of other situations that we've talked about on the show, it has not gone the way of what I think is just and right. And this one seems to be going mostly in that direction. So great job, everybody. I don't know if we can all take
credit. Well, not everybody, Alan.
Well, not everybody.
Fuck that cop.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But I think, you know, the culture of accountability and kind of being wary of what's happening with police is starting to kind of make sense to people, and it's starting to at least kind of resonate with officials, at least in this case. It's unfortunate that it took that video to come out, but it also is fortunate that that video exists. So hooray for cell phones and technology. Hopefully we can make the situation a little bit better. A little bit. Not that bad of a fuck the police like segment. Usually it's very downer. And this one is still very downer.
I don't know. I'm still pretty bummed out, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another innocent person. I mean, not to say that this person didn't necessarily commit a crime.
Right.
But that's, you know, it's fucking murder.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Right.
Especially if you're a cop.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the, you know, we hold them, or we should hold them, to a very high standard, and at least have the ability to kind of check in on that standard. So having not only was the video of the bystander taken into account when bringing the murder charge, it sounded like there was dash cam footage from the car as well, so that also corroborated things. And apparently there was a new story today that allegedly there is kind of more stacking up about that officer or former officer, in terms of kind of not of a excessive or at least undue force. So it does seem to be moving in the right direction. It's unfortunate that it takes an incident like that to move it in the right direction, but let's keep moving it in that direction, and maybe we can retire this segment from the show. We'll see. Hopefully.
I would hope so.
Kind of moving out to other news, one thing that I've read for and we've talked about this a little bit. We talked about it I think you know, in the past. One of the things that the bystander could have done was given the data to sources in an anonymous way. And we've talked about how there was the dark mail initiative, which really needs a better name, and other ways of sending files and data to various WikiLeaks like sources. The Intercept is one of them. Other services. Most news organizations have some kind of anonymous tips kinds of things, but really the only way to do that really anonymizes who you are is to use encrypted mail services. And until like an end-to-end encryption thing kicks in, which we've also talked about on the show, there's a thing called PGP, Pretty Good Privacy, or the open source version, GPG, which is using two-factor encryption. It's two-key encryption, where there's a public key that you tell everybody and a private key that you keep for yourself. And you use the sender and the recipients, a combination of those keys to send and receive mail. The process is actually not super difficult. I've seen a couple, really elegant explanations of PGP. One from, I think it was Khan Academy, that I thought was great. I might link it after the show. But the main problem, the real problem with PGP is it's not that it's necessarily difficult to understand. It's that the tools are really obtuse, really hard to kind of use in kind of general practice. Like right now, as far as I know, there's not a good client for iOS, for example, for iPhones to do encrypted mail that uses that, the PGP standard. So the thing PGP really depends on is that those keys that are public that identify you and can only be used by you have to be signed by other people. They have to be trusted. And one way of trusting them is to have someone trust it. But what if you're one of those anonymous people and you need to just send mail? How do you do that? How do you distribute your key such that people can get it? And that's something that folks at Keybase have pulled together. I thought it was a neat service. What they do is that they host public keys for people and can verify. Use their service to verify your sources, say your email address or your Twitter handle or your Facebook or Reddit ID, different things to identify you in order to do that. And it also means that other people can get your public key in a much easier way. So if they know your social media presence, which everyone is, now kind of, it's incumbent upon anyone to get that. I mean, it seems more important for people than getting email addresses now. Having a social media account, like a Twitter account or like a Reddit account or something, you can use that as your method of deploying your public key. I don't know, Brendan, what do you think? Have you looked into like encrypted mail ever?
Nope. I got nothing to hide. Gmail. I've given the keys to the kingdom away. I have Gmail.
Yeah, Google
owns that shit.
Yeah. I mean they use it to supposedly target ads. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. It's real effective. No, I use Chrome. I'm full in the Google system, fully integrated. I'm part of the hive. Collective.
Yeah, we're using a Google Hangout right now.
You're listening right now.
I am a kind of dyed in the wool privacy paranoid geek, but I recognize that most, if not all, of the people I know are not to that level. So while I have PGP keys, and I've published them, and I'll link them if I like, if you like. But I do sign my mail with my key. So if someone wanted to tell, you know, if that mail was from Alan, they could. But I will admit that that is the most difficult kind of bit of it. I mean, until I think we really get end-to-end email encryption, it's, you know, you just got to be okay with your mail kind of existing out on the internet. It's not, and I mean, the thing is not that it's out on the internet and people could read it. It's that the internet, like, can stick around. Like, whatever you do on the internet, it's not necessarily as ephemeral as people say. I mean, Snapchat was never as point in time as they would like you to believe. There have been enough kind of breaches of that, unfortunately, that show that. So I think, you know, it's really the kind of thing, if you want to tell someone something and not let anyone else know that, you pretty much have to still tell them that face to face.
That's my encryption, personal communication. So I'm developing my own language. I'll have to teach it to you. No, I'm an open book. It's kind of creepy, the whole Google knows everything I do thing. But, you know, whatever.
I think it does. I mean, there's kind of a unspoken price that we pay for the internet that we have, and I think there are still people that are that kind of want the internet that we were supposed to have.
Well, I mean, if a service is free, then the product is you.
That's right.
That so... is a thing.
Yeah.
There's a reason Facebook's free. There's a reason Gmail's free. I am a data point somewhere.
Yeah.
So they can try and sell me things that I've already looked at.
Well, which is
weird.
If you or any of the listeners want an account on Keybase, I do have a few invites for that. I don't know. I'll just give them away. I mean, there's nothing, you know, really there for me. But if you want to get into encrypted mail, even if just for like the occasional, like, I'm a spy feeling when you send mail, because it really does feel like that when you encrypt.
The occasional coup that you need to start. I mean, I'm not saying that we're going to advocate overthrowing the government directly on our podcast.
No, not a
but
thing.
If you want the special key, if you want the special key, knock twice on your phone.
There was a while ago an app that I think never actually made it, but it was supposedly using the sensors in the phone. And I know, I think they made a version for computers, because most newer computers have, or most new hard drives have vibration sensors, which automatically will notice when, like, say you drop your laptop, and they will very quickly, when they get that feeling of weightlessness, they will very quickly move the heads out of the way so it doesn't crash on the platters and destroy your data. But because those sensors are accessible by the computer, you can pick things up like vibration. So I want to say someone made a thing for unlocking computers where you knock on the computer and it will unlock based on the knock. I'm going to have to look that up.
That should be a thing.
Yeah, that should be a thing. I'm all about silly spycraft things. I think that I love that museum in Washington D.C. There should be more of those kinds of things where they show like all the I mean, admittedly really like silly stuff that is done.
The stuff we tried to use to kill Castro?
Yeah. I'm more thinking like the, you know, the machine gun in the briefcase kind of stuff, and the deadfall little things that you would drop, you know, the whole like walk up to someone and put down the exact same briefcase that they're using, and then you pick up their briefcase and walk away.
Yeah, I've seen the Americans.
That stuff is is great. It really brings a smile to my face. So sending encrypted mail is a beautiful thing. And if you'd like to send me encrypted mail, I 100% think that's a thing. Oh, one thing that we don't have to send encrypted mail about is a story out of India where they are considering using drones. Now I know, I think you know where this is going, but they're using drones in a crowd control capacity. So they're loading the drones with pepper spray, and then they can fly the drone into where there's a riot or some kind of thing that they want to
dinner party
suppress, and then they will, you know, hit a button and it will shoot pepper spray into the crowd to disperse it. I think this can only go poorly. Pepper spray is generally very, or it should be very directed. I think if it's not, what happens is people flee in all sorts of crazy directions. And I think having a thing flying through the air that uses like propellers to hold it in the air, propellers facing downwards, will just cause like a mass pepper spray ridiculousness, which will not be targeted at all and will just result in like people stampeding out of the area.
I don't understand how you precisely target a mob.
No, it's really just bad.
Although I want one. That would be amazing. I don't think it should be used except by me. I don't know if that's that's hypocritical, but it'd be evil.
Yeah.
In a fun way.
But yeah, I mean, but you see, you're being true to the evilness, right? I mean,
the people baser who are evil, instincts of man.
Well, people who are evil don't do things because they want to be evil. They do things because they have their, you know, some
because they reason can that... and it's fun. My reasoning would be it'd be fun,
right?
But right. That makes me a horrible person.
Well, it's the fact that it kind of steps on other people's understanding of fun.
Yeah, it'd be good for a prank.
Yeah. I think we can probably figure out a very kind of narrow use case for it.
And take it to an NRA convention.
Well, then you can put it as part of your party platform.
Yeah. Everyone? No, not everyone. I should have that power. I mean, this probably isn't politically savvy, but this whole democracy thing, I don't think it's working out. I think I should just run everything. I'll be a benevolent leader, don't worry.
Right.
But, you know, I want to be freely elected, like all those, like Saddam Hussein. He won so many elections. 100% of the vote.
Right. I mean, that's just well-loved.
Yeah.
Or really good at deploying a pepper spray drone.
I'm wondering if now I will have lost those three votes that I already got. I won't be a tyrant. I'll be a benevolent overlord. What would you rather have? Me, the friendly podcast host, or a robot?
That's
I won't put my metal boot on your neck. No. You may get pepper sprayed every now and then, but only if you're a dick. Oh, you know what the perfect use for it would be? Mm. Westboro Baptist Church. Every time they come protest something, you just send in the drones.
I think as long as the wind doesn't shift, it could work.
There'd be calculations involved.
Okay.
Not done by me. Done by someone who knows how to figure that stuff out.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if they have some people that are pretty good at math, you know, out at 538.com, which
you
is
wonder, do you?
Where they
one of the biggest math nerd blogs ever.
I think it's great. I mean, we've talked about 538 and Nate Silver's stuff in the past, but a great one came out this week because of baseball. Baseball is back. Hooray.
Go A's.
And along with baseball being back is the plethora of stats that that come from baseball. I mean, baseball's one of, I mean, most professional sports, but baseball in particular has kind of notorious nature of just having tons and tons and tons of stats, and it's,
well, you get such large sample sizes.
It's great, right? It's I mean, on everything. And what this article did was they identified three things that they're saying are trends in baseball. And they use these in kind of loose aggregate things, and they're quick to point out that these are correlations and not necessarily causation, which I think is good of them. I think if you don't know the difference between a correlation and causation, definitely look it up, because critical thinking is a thing.
Yes.
But they post a bunch of stats that say that the game is moving in a particular direction, which is to say slower and more defense-oriented.
Which is what people love.
Yeah, that's why people go to games, right? Oh, maybe not. But I think it's interesting because not only do they point out, you know, some things about the stats, like they're saying that the strike zone size is lowering now that we can track pitches accurately via cameras. They can tell where the balls move and where they come in and where they're finally, and then correlate that against where they're finally called by an umpire. And I think that's fantastic. It's really kind of a set of cool stats, but it shows two things, I think. One thing that it shows is they're using a lot of technology and a lot of stat power to kind of pull out and make declarations about stuff. But like I was saying, it's still human run. There's still like an umpire that's calling it. We're not going to have a computer doing that. At least I hope not.
Not on my watch.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the great things about it, is that there are people playing this game and calling the game and officiating the game. I think if we move too much towards having a quote unquote perfected system where there are things called by called electronically or verified electronically or things like that, you lose and the human element of it. And one of the great things about humanity is that human element.
I'm still not convinced that Kirk and Kipe aren't robots.
It's impressive to call a game to that degree. I think that's great.
Well, they're always so fascinated with what's going on in the stands. It's like they're studying humans for the first time. It's like there's a ball game going on. Let's learn something about the players. No, let's look at that guy eating a hot dog out in right field.
I think that's just good good situational awareness.
You would say that as a Giants fan. Your beloved, untouchable Kruk and Kipe.
Indeed. Have you ever scored a game?
I have not.
Where they give you
I've scored in a game, but I have not scored a game.
I'm sort of tempted to do it, but I think
sounds like the best waste of time I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I think I would want to rather drink a beer and eat garlic fries.
Yeah, I was at the game yesterday, which is why we didn't record yesterday. The A's got their new scoreboards, which are gorgeous.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
Bright and HD.
So no more dot races?
No, they have dot races, okay. But it's in three. It's like three-dimensional dots. I guess it's more like blob racing. I don't know.
Okay.
It was weird. The Great Cap Caper is still solid.
Okay.
They haven't changed much with that. They do have an interesting system, which I've never seen before, to denote balls, strikes, and outs.
Okay.
They have little elephants because of the A's mascot, Stomper. So when we were watching the game, I was like, oh, there's two good elephants, two bad elephants, and one terrible elephant, which would be two balls, two strikes, and an out if your team is batting. If the opponents are batting, then a ball is a bad elephant, a strike is a good elephant, and an out is an excellent elephant.
Wow.
It made the game very lively.
I think I have to see this.
That and shellacking the Rangers 10-0 was pretty sweet, too.
Yeah, right.
That's always fun.
Right. Awesome. Well, that, you know, watching an A's game is definitely going to have to be a thing. We can kind of scrounge enough cash together to see an A's game,
you can see an A's game on a podcast budget.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do that with the Giants.
No, unless you are, like, the Nerdist or something.
Yeah, you're talking Corolla money at that point.
Which maybe we'll get to, maybe. Hashtag flat earth. But in the meantime, you know, we'll keep going with the show as it is. Keep patronizing, you know, the things we're patronizing of our own free will without commercial interruption.
Yeah, I can say, you know, Safeway jumbo hot dogs, not so bad. But that's an endorsement of a hot dog if I've ever heard one.
Those hot dog royalties are going to just be flowing in.
Rolling in the dogs. Just fat dogging it. That's for the community fans out there.
Well, kind of, we have a couple more stories to wrap up before we start making plans for the dot races and the elephants. We have a story from the, I think it was from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. They're making a motion to modify that wonderful bit of legislation, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which I didn't think was still a thing, but apparently it is.
It's still a pain in the ass.
DMCA, Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which had a lot of stuff about, you know, it was invoked by many a record company to sue old ladies for MP3s and
that their grandchildren downloaded.
Yeah, and write cease and desist letters to people downloading movies and things like that. It you know, under the guise of copyright law, which I, you know, believe is a thing. People should have rights to things that they create. We've talked about that a little bit on the show in the past. But revamping that and kind of updating it for updating it to the 90s would be beautiful, but updating it to 2015 is kind of a process. And apparently, it's enough of a process that it's still kind of happening. We still have a lot of things to interpret. And one of the things that the EFF is trying to get modified is that the DMCA has been used by auto manufacturers to say effectively that you can't modify your car. Your car is a thing which is protected under the DMCA, and certain work done on your car, you know, is in breach of that. Like specifically taking your car to a unlicensed mechanic, or rather not the dealership, essentially.
Super expensive dealership.
Yeah. So There, it and it what it effectively says is that you are locked in when you buy a car, that you have to get service in a specific way, that you have to buy parts that are from a particular manufacturer and things like that, because otherwise you are violating copyright protection. And I think it's pretty obvious where, you know, from a common sense point of view, that it's ridiculous. So the EFF is kind of quickly jumping on that and hopefully making some headway in pulling that together, because like so many other things, when you pay for something, in theory you own it, and that's what the auto manufacturers are saying, or at least the ones that are being worked on in this story, is that they're saying that the car that you bought comes with a bunch of restrictions after you've bought it, and that's just flat out not a thing. If you pay for something and the assumption is you're buying it, then it's yours. If we're renting it, sure, throw a bunch of requirements on how it works or how this thing is, but if I've bought it, it's mine. I can do whatever I want with it. That's how it should be.
Yep.
Otherwise, what fun would it be to watch movies like Furious 7, where it's all about kind of fast and crazy modified cars?
Yeah, they're going to start suing Vin Diesel? Actually, no, I'm wrong. They would be suing Ludacris?
Yes.
Because he's the one that does all the car work.
Right, right. I mean, they might have other reasons to sue Tej, but, the whole international thief thing might come up. But in any case, but they were all granted pardons by The Rock, so...
Right. Okay.
Right.
So I think we're entering spoiler territory.
We are, and I think it's not that big of a spoiler to say that we both watched Furious 7, the seventh movie in the Fast and Furious franchise. Did you watch it in D-Box?
Yes, I did.
As did I. And I think if I were to sum it up in a word, it is great.
I think that's wrong. I think the correct word is excellent.
I thought it was better than 6. I'm not sure if I thought it was better than 5, because I still think 5 was great, like really, really well done.
I actually, I've been doing some reflecting this last week on it, and I think 5 is the best.
Yeah.
Then 6, then 7.
Interesting.
I think 7 was not as good as 6.
Huh.
But still great.
Yeah.
Still in the top third or half of the movies.
Right. Right. I mean, I think the thing that let's just get the Paul Walker kind of bit out of the way. I had no trouble at all with him at the end of the movie. There was read a couple things saying that there was backlash about how schlocky that looked, and I didn't think.
I thought it looked good.
No, I thought it looked great, and I thought it was.
The whole movie trying to figure out, like, where's the CGI Paul Walker?
Yeah,
I had trouble finding it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a nice thing to do for someone that had been in that movie franchise. I don't think it was kind of cheesy at all. I thought it was well done.
No, it was heartfelt, and I thought it was well done. I thought the CGI Paul Walker was a better actor than Ronda Rousey. She was terrible. Great fighter, great fight scenes.
Yeah.
Terrible actress.
Yeah, they didn't.
She is Carano.
They had no reason to do anything other than just like have her fight. I mean, having her like have lines was unfortunate.
Yeah. She said like 9 words, and it was enough to make me go, ugh.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Did you just say Gina Carano?
Yeah.
Did you see Haywire?
Yeah, that's great.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the hell out of that.
She was in Fast 6.
Oh, that's right. Oh, of course. Yes.
And yes, she was even better in Haywire. If you haven't seen it, check that movie out.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, in any case, I think the one thing that I thought 7 suffered from was I felt that they had to pull all of the plot lines together from everything.
Yeah. I think they definitely need credit for the fact that the movie was like half done when he died.
Yeah.
And they still made it into a reasonably good movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, assuming you've turned your brain off and, you know, it's not a thinking. You don't want to think about these movies. You want to experience.
Right. The cars falling through the sky moment, I think, might have been the, like, if you're not on board, you're never going to be on board.
I gotta give them respect for it. They did.
Yeah.
I mean, the middle part where they're, you know, floating, that's all CGI. But they dropped cars out of the plane and then dropped cars like 10 feet above the ground so that when they landed and drove, that was real.
Yeah.
That's some amazing stunt work.
Yes, I was pleased with it. And in D-Box, it was great. I know we've talked about D-Box in the past. It's definitely a thing. I think certain movies benefit from it better than others. Certainly, all the Fast and Furious movies that I've seen in D-Box, I've enjoyed the hell out of. So that's
Did you recognize who Ramsey is?
Who is Ramsey?
Oh, the hacker.
I made the connection earlier.
Gorgeous hacker.
Now I'm blanking. Yeah.
She's the, like, handmaiden from Game of Thrones.
Yes. Absolutely, you're right. Absolutely right, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, she looks really familiar. Then I looked it up. Totally makes sense. I felt like there may have been too many scenes of Jason Statham and Vin Diesel, like, staring at each other.
Yeah.
Facing off in a car. Oh, when they drove into each other, that was great.
I didn't expect it. I thought it was well done.
And the Rock hulking out of his cast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice touch.
He's just asking for an HR meeting with the amount of woman that he throws around. Woman, I am the cavalry. Rock, someone's got to sit Hobbs down. Say, like, listen, man, you're in the workplace. You can't speak like that.
Well, I thought it was, like I said, tastefully done the way they did that. I mean, despite having to pull all those threads together from, I mean, they pulled in Tokyo Drift. I'm like, my God.
Yeah. Well, I even liked Kurt Russell. His character. I was waiting for him to betray him, and then he never did. That was nice. It was refreshing. I'm just waiting for his shepherd, his buddy, like turning on him to shooting somebody. But no, it never happened. He turned out to be a good guy.
Yeah.
For a shadowy government operator.
Which they don't really go into any more than that. Which is fine. I mean, whatever.
I thought the scenes where they were trading Ramsey between the cars.
Yeah.
When they're trying to evade the drone. That was pretty good. Tony Jaa was in this movie.
Oh, yeah. He was great. It was like, okay, sure.
When they took that fall down the stairs on the door, that was pretty good.
Yeah. That was a great, great scene. The continuously sliding down the stairs while fighting was great.
I think the only major complaint I have was from the end of the movie, when after Dom has lost to the street, as it were, when the building collapses on him, and they pull him out of the car, and Paul Walker's trying to give him CPR, and Michelle Rodriguez pulls him off and just like, no, stop it. Stop giving him CPR. I'm gonna tell them about how I got my memories back. What the fuck?
Yeah,
doesn't make any sense.
It's a
both.
What? I mean, you know, they were going for a Matrix thing, maybe.
I guess.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm not afraid anymore, and then magically the heart starts again from
yeah.
So I thought it was good.
It's the best movie I've seen that someone drove a car through three buildings. That was fun.
That was definitely a fun sequence. Yeah, I think there are definitely a lot of great scenes in the movie. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like the weakest scene. I think the fact that the way that Jason Statham just kind of magically shows up wherever everybody is.
Yeah, he's got so many miles.
Yeah. I mean, he's driven. This guy is like seriously angry.
You don't mess with Chev Chelios.
Yeah.
Or Frank the driver.
Yeah.
It was kind of a mix of both those characters.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't remember what what was his deal? He was just like, you know,
it was the guy's brother.
The bad guy that nobody, you know, like they didn't want to have out, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought who was the guy who directed this one? James Wan. I thought he did a good job.
Yeah.
He seemed to get the medium.
Uh-huh. And I only hope that you know, they continue to do movies. I don't see at all there a reason for them to stop, honestly.
Especially since they had the fourth largest opening weekend ever. This movie's gonna make, it's already made $500 million.
Jeez.
And it's been a week.
Well, I had read some things saying that they might make kind of spin-off movies, and I'm not so keen on that. But
no, I like the Ocean's 11 vibe.
Yeah.
Kind of bring everyone together. If you're gonna have a spin-off movie, it should have been Han, but he's fucking dead. So you can't do that.
Oh, poor Han. Anyway. Wow, we've talked quite a bit about about Furious 7.
I'm very passionate about these movies. As long as I keep my brain turned off.
Well, in that case, I think maybe we should go turn our brains on for a little bit. We'll do that, and you know, we'll poll the electorate, see how this episode did for your chances for your elected office, and yeah, I'll talk to you next week, Brendan.
Till next time, Alan.